And this is episode one of the Writing and Publishing Erotica podcast. My name is Athena Chills, and
I am HK Kiting.
Okay, and probably already we can have a question here that somebody's going to ask. What's up with that Athena thing? I do not sound like an Athena.
No, you don't, Athena.
I could if I wanted to talk like this, but I don't think anybody's going to fall for that.
Okay, so yeah. No, I'm not a trans person or anything like that. I'm a normal guy, sorta, kinda. But one of the stories that I heard when I was first getting started was that most successful erotica authors are women. And if they're not women, they pretend to be on their pseudonyms or their pen names. So I chose the name A. Chills back when I was first getting started. The letter A and Chills. Don't ask why, but the letter A did not work out real well in some of the search engines, like on Amazon and places like that. So I figured I've got to have a real first name. The first letter A isn't going to cut it. So somewhere around there, I decided to do a search for authors whose last name were Chills, and I found out there aren't any with the name Athena that are also women. So now I'm a female erotica writer, even though you couldn't tell by looking. And no, you don't want to look. So that's me. Who the heck is HK Kiting?
I decided to keep the name a little more anonymous as far as gender and just stick with the initials. The HK Kiting kind of came about as an anagram of my real name, but I didn't like any of the things that came up. So I just settled on Kiting as a last name, and HK, it's a unique name. There's no other Kitings out there. I decided that the first name is Henry, but I don't use that. It could be Henrietta, too, so it'll just let the readers make up their own mind whether HK Kiting is a man or a woman.
You absolutely look like a Henrietta, yes.
Definitely, yeah.
What's the K?
Kip.
Henry Kip Kiting.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And Athena Chills. Okay. So why did we come up with these weird names anyway? Why don't you want to be known as whoever you really are?
Well, it's not that we're ashamed of who we are, but we kind of want to be a little bit discreet about who we are. We're not using our real names. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of authors use a pseudonym, and it wouldn't be the end of the world if our friends and family found out that we were writing erotica. Some of our friends do know. It's just easier to keep it anonymous, I think.
And it's actually very easy. In future episodes, we'll talk about how you can get set up with a pseudonym on the various publishing sites and with your books. And if you're publishing something like erotica, it's very, very common to have a false name.
Yeah, and there's really nothing to doing it. You don't have to register it as a legal name or for tax purposes or anything like that. You just put it out there on the covers and the publicity and so forth. And when you publish the books, self-publishing, you just use the pseudonym instead of your own name.
Well, since the topic's come up, you do have to attach your pseudonym to your real name. For example, if you're publishing on Amazon, your account at Amazon has to be under your real name with your real bank information and your real address.
Yeah, exactly, because you do have to get paid by your real name. But as far as the public sees, they only see the pseudonym.
Right. It's your secret and Amazon's secret. Mm-hmm. But generally, it's never been a problem. No. And as far as I'm aware with all the authors that we know, it's never really come up as an issue. The only ones who ever get into any kind of trouble out in the real world are the ones who tell people, I'm an erotica author, read my books. And then they get fired from their church or thrown out of their teaching job or something like that. So, yeah, it's better to have, well, for most people, it's better to have a pseudonym. So, you mentioned, Henry, that you... Mr. H.K. Kiting.
Yes, Miss Chills.
What kind of things do you write? We know you've already said you write erotica. What kind? Anything specific or just anything that comes to mind?
I have written some straight erotica. with, I don't know if you'd call it normal sex. even the stories that don't have kink, that don't specifically have bondage, like for example, my first erotica story that I put out there, it's a guy having sex with six women at once, which is possible, and you'd have to read the story to see how that is possible. The majority of the things that I've written have been gay erotica with some kink. Tends to be bondage, breath control, peril play, things like that.
Okay, sounds good. And a little different. You've got your niche there that nobody else writes in. My own specialty is... Oh, wait. It's almost the same thing.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah, I have done some straight stories as well, but I primarily focus in gay fiction, generally kinky, also with the breath control, bondage, and peril play aspects involved with that. And we've done a couple little collaborations together on these stories, including our most recent stories, one called Mermaid's Duet. And I wrote a story in that, and he wrote a story in that, and then we collaborated on the third one. So it's a little collection of three short stories. It's pretty cool. But mostly I write my stories, and Henry writes his stories, and that's pretty much that.
And we have an ongoing competition back and forth, seeing who can come up with the most stories. I'm at 17 published titles now, leading, you have 16? Is that correct?
I currently have 16 published erotica stories, yes.
And then we have the collaborative work.
Yeah, we also publish some non-erotic tales, which we're not going to talk about too much on this podcast. But, yeah, we have written a bunch of things in our own real names as well.
And those are more mainstream.
Yeah, definitely. No kink in those, darn it.
No.
So how long have we been at this?
Close to a year now.
Yeah, just about a year for each of us. We started about the same time. And you've got how many, you say, 15, 16?
17.
17!
17 stories out there.
Yeah, I have to make another one or two to catch up with you. I'm at 16 right now. So between the two of us, we have somewhere in the mid-30s of books out there.
And my rate has been steadily speeding up. Initially, I was a little slow getting them out. And I've been coming out every 2 to 3 weeks now with a new one.
Yeah, so just to reemphasize that, between the two of us in the past 1 year, actually it's a little less than 1 year, we've done somewhere over 30 books between the two of us. So if you've gotten it under the mindset that you have to agonize for months and months or years over a book, we're going to do what we can to break that idea.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a long time to write simple erotica stories. Or even more complicated romance stories. It's not that challenging. So where do you think you want to be in another year?
Basically with a whole bunch more stories out there.
No major changes, just more numbers.
I think at this time that's the way I want to go. My sales keep creeping up the more books I get out there. Every time I publish a new story, sales of previous stories pick up a little bit. So it's creeping up there, and I'd like to just continue the creep with more and more titles. I've been setting the goal lately of 1,000 words a day, no matter what, which at the size of the stories that I've been putting out is a story about every 2 weeks. So this time next year, I can have easily another 30 titles.
Okay, so you're looking to double things in about another year.
More than double, yeah.
And that sounds like my goal, too, pretty much. So you publish, just paperbacks, or do you do other kinds of publishing?
E-publishing and paperback. And the vast majority of the sales have been e-books that people have purchased. Those are really catching on. And for the self-publishing, it's very easy to do. You can simultaneously publish on Amazon. CreateSpace does the paperback aspect of it, and Kindle, KDP Publishing, handles the Kindle. Then there's Smashwords, Nook Press, and Kobo are all ebooks as well. Barnes & Noble does carry the paperbacks, but mostly it's been the ebooks.
Yeah, don't be under the impression that the ebooks are not taking off. The ebooks are far larger than paperbacks in any kind of marketing studies you read anymore. And there's not just one place. Although most authors will tell you that Amazon is the big one, and it is, there's a lot to be said for the little markets out there. Kobo and Smashwords, Nook, Apple is still a very small market book-wise, and who else did you say?
Those were the ones I listed. Smashwords has definitely been number two for me. After Kindle, Smashwords does the best.
Yeah, and there are other even smaller marketplaces out there. All Romance is a new one for us, and I hear there's a new one, Excitica, coming up very soon, and we'll talk about that eventually, too. Okay, which of the publishing places that you deal with is probably the easiest one? What's the first one you get out there with?
The easiest one is probably Smashwords because, well, as far as the first one that gets out there, Smashwords shows up within minutes, typically, of when you post it out there. And Smashwords is just the ebook. That's one that I can put out there, and a half an hour later, I can tweet about it, say, hey, I've got a new title available on Smashwords. And then the others are almost as easy, too, but they kind of trickle through. It's usually like the next day or two or three days even that the Kindle will go through and then the paperback. And then I can tweet again saying, hey, the new book is available on Amazon now. And then on Kobo and Nook Press, they take a little bit of time to go through as well.
Okay, I'm not sure that I would say Smashwords is the easiest one. They're definitely the fastest one. You can publish something and have it available in, like you said, a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Easy-wise, I don't know that there is any of them that are really what I would call simple.
Kobo might be the easiest. They seem to have the least information that they ask for and the fewest screens to go through. I think maybe Kobo is
easiest. They don't bother so much with keywords or tags or anything like that. They pretty much just want the basic information. So yeah, they're pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Easily the hardest one, in my opinion, is Apple. First of all, you have to have a Mac PC in order to upload your stuff to Apple. It takes a very long time for them to approve anything. And to be honest, their sales are kind of weak in the erotica market, at least in my experience.
And I haven't even tried Apple directly. When you publish on Smashwords, they give you the option of some outreach partners that they have. And I'm blanking out on most of them that... what is the name of some of them?
Scribd, Oyster, mm-hmm. and a couple others that are kind of low down the list, but they're still worth dealing with.
Uh-huh, and Sony is one of them, and they're a little bit substantial, but one of them that they partner with is the Apple iTunes Store, and I just let Smashwords handle it. Then my listings will be available in the iTunes Store. They do take a little bit of an extra cut. I get a little bit less per sale than if I did it myself.
But directly. It's worth it not to have to deal with Apple.
Yeah, because Apple's just, it's a lot of trouble.
Okay, so you publish all your titles in all these different places, or do some things go some places and some go others?
Well, that's a kind of funny story, because some of the stuff I've written is kind of hardcore in the bondage, the extreme situations that some of the guys get in. And the first one was Kindle came back with one of my titles, My Turn in the Barrel, and they said, no, this is too extreme for us, we don't want it. And at first I said, that's disappointing, but then I took it in as an opportunity, and I tweeted and publicized the heck out of it, saying, hey, this title is available on Smashwords, it's so extreme that it was too much for the Kindle store.
Banned by Amazon.
And I had a nice little spike in sales from that. And I think I might have ended up selling more of that title than I would have otherwise.
Did Amazon sell it for a little while and then cancel it? Or did they tell you immediately that it was too extreme?
Yeah, they sold it for a little while, which is kind of strange. I don't know how that worked. Because I bought a copy myself as well. And a few copies had sold on Amazon, and it's just not there anymore, and I can't get it myself, the one that I purchased on Kindle, so I don't know if you know, if anybody out there that had purchased it completely noticed that it vanished and has complained, or if they got a refund, or how that worked.
So you're saying Amazon has hidden the evil smut under the rug?
They have, yeah. It's still available on paperback, but the Kindle store wouldn't carry it.
Too serious, yeah. Too severe, too smutty for Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that title?
My Turn in the Barrel.
Which you can get pretty much everywhere except Amazon.
Yes.
Okay, so that seemed to have worked out pretty well.
However, that comes back to Smashwords as well with the iTunes store, the Apple store. There were two titles, My Turn in the Barrel and Buried Love, two of my titles, that the iTunes store said are too extreme for them.
You never got that straightened out? You never tried?
I did try, and I just gave it up and figured I wouldn't push it. So those two titles are not available on the iTunes store. And Kobo is a little fussier about some of their hardcore stuff. I have all 17 published there now, but I had to tone down the description.
Yeah, I ran into the same thing. All my books have been accepted pretty much everywhere, but Kobo is one of the more recent places we both signed up for. And when I was uploading my books to that, they rejected three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and had to revise the description and cut out words like choking or bondage. These were not bad words or not inappropriate words, but they gave a little bit of an indication of what the story was about. And once I took those words out, they accepted them, no problem.
And Kobo screens the content, so they didn't have a problem with the book itself, the story content, just the description must be what shows publicly that they were concerned about.
Yeah, every place has little restrictions about what you can and cannot publish.
Mm-hmm.
Children, child porn, bestiality.
Yeah, that's kind of across the
board. Non-consensual rape type thing. Everybody's got their own special things, but there are certain things that are consistent everywhere. We'll talk about those another time.
One of the, I'm not sure which one it was, specifically bans scat, which I thought was kind of strange, because that's
kind of gross, but
it's not something everybody's into, but it's a consenting adult thing and not illegal. And you know,
and when you gotta go, you gotta go,
well,
right?
Yeah, yeah. If you're into the chocolate drops, let them go. You know? But generally, child pornography, rape, incest, things that are illegal are generally across the board no-nos in erotica.
So what's the greatest challenge you've run into in your erotica writing career?
Keeping some variety, because there's only so many ways you can describe the sex act, you know, and keeping it fresh, using different vocabulary, different descriptive terms, not making all the stories seem the same, you know, keeping freshness and variety.
Two people meet. They talk a little bit, they go home, they do something bad, the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to avoid that same formula over and over.
Yeah, I think my biggest challenge is keeping my mouth shut around my friends. Hey, I got a great new book just came out last week. What is it? Oh, something sick and twisted. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so secrecy is a big challenge for something. You put all this work into it. Some of my erotica novels, in my opinion, are way better than some of my more public knowledge books.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say anything about those.
Not to everybody, no. No.
Not to most people in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Okay, so we would love to hear from you. Send us an email, achillsauthor@gmail.com. That's the letter A. The word chills, the word author, no spaces or anything, @gmail.com or
hkkiting@gmail.com.
No spaces or punctuation
No spaces or punctuation. And we also invite you to check out our website, sexyfic.com.
SexyFic.com.
Links to all of our titles, some free flash fiction that we put out there.
Okay, and we are a new podcast. As I said in the beginning, this is episode 1. We've got all kinds of topics lined up in store for you. So if you've enjoyed what you heard, send us an email, send us your comments or questions. Most importantly, go back to the iTunes store and leave a review. We would love to hear your feedback on there. Spread the word. Now, today we've talked a little bit about erotica, but many, many, many of the titles we have planned are going to apply to pretty much any kind of writing and publishing. So if you're not into erotica, you're not into smut, tune in anyway. There's a lot to learn here.
Definitely.
And we'll be seeing you next week.
See you later.